All right, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Tigers Today podcast. Recording this on Friday, April 7th, the traditional day off, just in case they get a bad weather on opening day. But no bad weather yesterday, just a bad result for the Tigers. 6-3 losers to Boston in the home opener, a rare home opener loss for the Tigers that had won 12 of 14 of these things. Good years and bad. Off to a 2-5 start after the rough start in Tampa, a good little rebound in Houston, and then the opener again, the loss to Boston. Chris McCoskey joining us on a pseudo off day for him, I guess, right?
I don't know how you define off day, sir, but I don't have to go to the ballpark. I'm
Go.
off from the park.
There you go. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So 2-5 start here to this season. Obviously, the roof was caving in among the fans during the opening series. They got a little bit more excited with the Houston bounce back. Some really good quality, I thought, quality at bats in Houston. Good approaches there. Then come back yesterday. There's some things to like early in this young season, and some stuff to be a little bit concerned about. And just your early impressions of this young, long baseball season.
I'm glad you said that long. I hope the fans understand that the fans that you're talking about, if they're going to ride that roller coaster all through this season, they're going to need therapy. I mean, the baseball season's long. You cannot, it's not like football where they lose a game and it's like, oh no, there's only 15 left. It's not like that. It's going to
16,
be
16
swings, and
left now.
this team is not great. It's going to be swings. They're going to be up and downs. But my impressions are, I love that was the best ceremonial first pitch. I've been covering sports for 40 years. That's the best ceremonial first pitch I have ever seen. My heart was in my throat, man. Those are dudes that I covered, was honored and blessed to cover. It was a hearkening back to a much better time in the sports community around here with Calvin Johnson and Nick Lidstrom and my guy Ben Wallace coming out there. Three Hall of Famers. You know, how much memories have they provided us over the years? And then for them to wave Miggy out, I know that was staged. I don't care. They waved Miggy out, and there's four eventual Hall of Famers out there throwing out that first pitch, kind of tying the eras together. I love that. I love that. I rode off of that. I was enthralled with that. That was an evocation. And then the reality hit the
Well, it
game.
was. Oh, let me just stop you there. It was the Chris McCoskey Memorial Celebration of all these athletes that you've covered, because
I
you
don't
are.
think that was it.
I think you have to be, or maybe the only person who's been the regular beat writer for all four professional major sports teams, plus in your early days, the University of Michigan. But yeah, to see all those athletes out there, I think everyone in the
Oh,
box
yeah.
looked to you and said, "This is a
Oh,
tribute
man,
to you."
I was just, that wasn't a tribute to me. It's a tribute to the sports fans for, like, it's like, remember what we used to do? Remember what April and the D used to be about?
I know, it was
That
crazy.
was awesome. But you know, one of the things I'm not worried about, Tony, is Spencer Turnbull. Guy, the journey back from Tommy John surgery is not a straight line. It's not a straight path. And Joey Wentz can attest to this, and I hope Casey Mize is paying attention to this. But you know, Turnbull was great in spring. His velo was up 94, 95, 96. He's had some mechanical issues going into the start of this season. And that's what it's going to be like. There's going to be ups and downs. But he was better last game, even though his stuff is still down. It's still probably for him grade C stuff. He still fought through and got through five in pretty good shape before the sixth inning kind of bit him there. So that's one of the things I'm not worried about going forward. I think he's going to be okay as long as the health stays. His pitchability will perk up with every start, get better with every start. With, like I said, the ups and with the ebbs and flows of Tommy John recovery.
Well, he was better yesterday than in the opener. I mean, it's just two starts and whatever, but he was certainly better. Eric Haas was, or Jake Rogers, sorry, was impressed with him compared to the opener. What was the
Right.
issue with the what was the issue with that line drive up the middle? Would he strain his neck or something?
Well, he did the violent jerk to get out of the way of it.
Yeah.
He got his neck stinger. He's had those before. He's got a history of those. And so that violent motion kind of stung. It stung him, and then he had to just let the pain aside, of subside. I'm sorry. And that, but that wasn't a factor. And like, he only got one more out after that, four batters. So he was just at kind of the end of his rope there.
Right. He's coming back, also coming back this year that someone maybe we didn't talk about quite as much, or you know, maybe fans didn't talk about quite as much coming back because Turnbull got a little bit more attention, but Jake Rogers coming back, also missed, you know, last season. So far, pleasant surprise. I think people, we know he's pretty good defensively. And he showed some offensively, but some good swings early on here. He had the home run yesterday. He had the home run down in Tampa, I think. Some good early returns from him.
Yeah, no, listen, the best baseball they played in the last 4 years was in 21 when he was healthy. When him and Hossie were sharing the catching, that was the best stretch of baseball we've seen in a while. To see where his swing has come from, if you remember when he first was breaking in here, his launch angle was ridiculous, man. It was like he was hitting balls straight to the moon and he could not touch a fastball above his belt. He's worked and worked and grinded, and I think his swing looks much better still. Pretty lofty, but he's making better contact. He's making better pitch decisions, and the power's always been there. So I'm really encouraged with him. And you know, him and Hossie both together are you know, I think no question Rogers is the better defensive catcher.
Right.
But both of those guys together sharing that load, neither of them should be catching 140 games. So that their ability to share that, and with Hoskins staying in the lineup when he's hot playing left field, it's a pretty good tandem back there. Pretty productive tandem it can be.
Right. Compared to what they have had at catcher, which hasn't been great. Yeah, good early returns
That's
there.
the curse of James McCann, man. That's the curse of James McCann right there. Nobody will fight me on that, right? I'll never get any pushback on that. But all they had to do was sign him for a couple of million bucks,
Yeah.
for love of God.
Yeah. Well,
I digress.
they always think, you know, you always think you got something coming in the minors. You know, you always look at the names, but you know, it's hard to make that jump no matter how touted you are, right? And we're
Yeah, that's
seeing,
Dylan Ding.
you know, well, right, exactly. Dylan Dingler's the next target down there, but for catcher anyway. But I mean, speaking of that, I mean, it's just not easy to make that jump. Obviously, you know, yesterday was a great ceremony with Miguel, and it's going to be a whole love fest for Miguel all season long as he plays out his final season. But as John Neal wrote today, they're kind of at DetroitNews.com, it's kind of this year's a little bit of the passing of the torch from Miguel to the new era, which of course is highlighted by Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, two highly touted prospects. One was the fifth overall pick in Riley Green, one was the number one overall pick in Spencer Torkelson in recent years. And I think when you talk about, you know, you talk about what's down the minors, and you know, it's just not easy to make that jump. I think you've seen that with them, but you've also seen, you know, some good stuff from them as well. Riley Green showed some good things last year. Obviously, I think people are really excited about him. You're seeing that again this year, early on, in some at bats. And Spencer Torkelson, obviously, was a big question, given how awful his season was last year. He wouldn't dispute that. It was just a lost year. He tried to put it completely aside, but his swings early on. He had the three-hit game down in Houston with the long home run off the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But even his outs are better swings. He seems like he has a shorter, compacter swing. He looks better. I think those two guys, you know, and that's what fans really want to see this year. If they're going to pigeonhole them into what they want to see Riley and Spencer Torkelson have good years.
Well, they're going to have good years. They're off to good starts. They're extremely talented players. The fact that the Tigers, I've mentioned this before on here, that you know the Tigers never lost faith in Spencer Torkelson. They didn't go out and get a first baseman to compete with him, and I, you know, not even the guy that they would have been stuck in Toledo, you know, a veteran guy. That's his job. They're going to ride and die with him, and he's validating their trust. But here's the thing. This is still their second go around, and there's still growing pains for both of them. And we're gonna see the ebbs and flows with them, you know, and with Nick Maton and Matt Vierling, this is their first time as everyday players. We're already seeing it with Maton. He's 1 for 15. He's a much better hitter than that. So there's gonna be that. The thing that they need to ground this, and I know the fans want to see Torque and Green. That win in Houston was a Torque and Green. That's what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
When those two guys compete like that, batting, you know, one after the other, that was a beautiful thing. That was, I mean, that's what everybody's looking for. But to ease this transition, Javi Baez has to step up and be the aircraft carrier that they signed him to be. I
Right.
mean, I'm not saying he has to hit 40 home runs, but he's got to be better than he's been to take the load off him. So the ebbs and flows that are inevitable will be easier to deal with if Javi can produce. You know, he's only had four at bats with runners in scoring position. So, and again, all the qualifiers and the disclaimers, it's seven games, it's 25 plate appearances for him. He's 2 for 25, man. Here's let me just roll this at you here. And this is again, small sample. Okay. 19 balls in play. He's got an average exit velocity of 85 miles an hour. He's hit 53% of those balls on the ground. He's 0 for 11 against fastballs. His launch angle is 9.8. That's not him. So a lot of this stuff, he's not had a single barrel in 19 balls put in play. You know, it's just he's got his chase rate is still 46%. Swing and miss is still 33%. Small sample, but they need him to produce, man. I mean, it would change the dynamic of the offense, you know, because, you know, Miggy's not the guy anymore. He can't be that guy. He's 40. Austin Meadows is still trying to get himself back to where he was. We don't know if he's going to get there in terms of the power and the production. He's having better at bats. He's hitting the ball a little bit, but in terms of the power, he hasn't hit a home run as a Tiger. So, you know, Scopey's not going to be the guy. They need a veteran, proven guy that can kind of be the aircraft carrier for these guys to land on when they go through their turbulence. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's got to be him.
No,
Bottom line.
I mean it makes sense. I mean he's your quote unquote superstar. He's the guy you're paying. I mean Scott Harris didn't pay him. I mean he's left over, but there's nothing you can do. You're stuck with him, and you need him to produce. And you know the qualifiers are great, and I get it. It's early in the season, but at this point early in the season, I think what people want to see is just any sign of anything different than a year ago, right?
There's been that.
And there has been, but with Baez and at bat, I think that's what I'm saying. There's frustration there. He's looked fine defensively, except for when he inevitably throws these terrible grounders to Spencer Torkelson. By the way, we haven't talked about Torkelson defensively, but
Oh, I have. Nobody listens to me. I
on
have.
this podcast, but I'm saying he's been great. I mean, he scooped, I think, every ball that's been in the dirt this year. He's been really good. But yeah, Baez is big. There's no question. You wrote about him today at DetroitNews.com. You could check that out. He did have a four pitch walk yesterday, which I
He's
think,
had two walks. That's
yeah,
the
he had
thing.
two
He has two.
walks.
The Tigers are actually in the middle of the league and drawing walks this year. Their strikeout rate is still at the top, but their walk rate is up too. So I don't. Again, I go back and forth with this. Dan Dickerson and I have a friendly argument about this all the time. I love guys who have good plate discipline and can take a walk. Who will take a walk. I also like a guy who can put a bat on a ball and do some damage.
Right.
I mean, I just can't just focus on walk rates and then, you know. If you have a 400 on base or a 300, say 300 on base and a 100 batting average, I don't like you.
Well,
You got to hit.
and here's the thing with that too is you know the new age, everyone loves on base percentage and it's great. You certainly would love to have a 400 on base percentage up and down your lineup. But when you have those guys that are walking and you have a good walk rate, I mean, you need a 2013 Tigers or Red Sox, you know, that was the funny, you know, we're watching Tigers and Red Sox yesterday. Total night and day difference from when they met in 2013, right? Both teams. But you need a good lineup to take advantage of guys with good walk. You need guys that are good, and you certainly don't at this point have that with the Tigers. I mean, you don't have mashers up and down that lineup. You have some potential, no question about that. But yeah, I mean, you could draw three walks and not score a run. I mean, so I
What I'm
understand.
saying, man, you got.
I understand that too. And with Baez, I think there's been so much talk, right, of the Tigers are going to own the strike zone, and Scott Harris made that a point. And Scott Harris also laughed when asked at his introductory press conference, "Well, how does Javi Baez fit into that? Because that's never been his game." And you know, Javi Baez has heard this, you know, and you know, heard that, you know, he doesn't, you know, he swings at too many pitches, he walks too much. You definitely want to see him take some better pitches or take some, you know, not swing at bad pitches. You definitely like seeing him get walks. But what you also wonder is if that carries over to when you do get your pitch, if it's a lack of aggression, if it's a lack of trying to do damage, or if you're just trying to put the ball in play because you don't strike out or swing and miss because everyone's on your ass because you've been swinging and missing for a year and, you know, seven games now. So you wonder if that has a at least a mental psychological impact on a player when he hears all that stuff. Because
Well, it,
I feel
maybe
like his swings have
some
been very weak swings in a lot of instances.
they have been. They have been. And the chase is a problem with him because
Sure.
he makes contact too often when he chases. He's got a 58% contact rate on balls outside the zone. And you know what those balls end up being? Rollover ground outs. That's why it's ground ball rate is so up, because he's hitting balls. They pitch him away. You already know this, up and in, and then away. And he rolls over on the pitches away because they're out of the zone over and over and over again. So it's not a quick, like, he still swings like a madman up there. He's not taking half cuts, but he's not swinging at pitches he can do damage on. And that's the difference with him. I think you're right in some sense. There are some players who can get themselves in 0-2 holes every at bat, being too conscious of the walk. There's still a line you walk there. You need to be aggressive. You've got to hunt. You got to have a plan. You're hunting fastballs or, whatever. That's why I love Maton. Maton doesn't. He hunts fastballs. If he gets two strikes, he's going to fight off whatever you throw. But he, until then, he's hunting fastballs, and that's where he makes his living. I think those are the kind of guys they need more of, it that have a they know. Torkelson's like that, and Torkelson's gotten so much better at hitting the secondary stuff now because his mechanics are so much better. He can sit and sit on the fastball, and he's so much better now at letting it get deep so that he can react to the breaking ball and not be out in front or not have it eat him up. And that's the difference you've seen in him this year. And Riley's always been good at that. Riley is amazing. His plate presence and his plate profile are so above his years. He's 22, man. He's
No, I know.
22. He's going to be really, really special.
Well, we were talking with him yesterday in the clubhouse, and he was talking about his first time. He said he grew up watching Miguel in Florida, obviously. And he goes, "Yeah, I think he debuted when I was one." And we looked it up. It was actually Riley was two when Miguel he was two when Miguel debuted.
That's
But Torkelson,
when I tell those guys to stop talking when they start saying stuff like that.
one other thing I like about him though this year that I've seen, and again, small sample size, I get it. But when you see things you didn't see last year, it gets you a little excited. Is that the two strike approach? He doesn't look defeated, two strikes at all. I mean, he looks calm.
100%.
He looks very
100%.
calm with two strikes, and that's a sign that the confidence is there, right? And we talked about the confidence on a podcast or two ago. You could see that he's gotten behind 0-2, 1-2, and isn't beaten. And I think that's something that's exciting to look forward to. He just seems happier. He seems healthier mentally, and I mean, you got to be excited about the early returns there. But you're right about Baez. They got to see something. But the key with Baez, though, and it's so weird because if he has a bad year, right? If he has a bad year, then you're probably stuck with him for another 4 years, and because he can opt out. But if he has a good year, then he may leave, and it's kind of a weird dynamic with him, man. It's just weird.
I don't know. I don't think I would be really surprised. He would have to have a really good
Well,
year,
that's what I'm
and
saying. It's
there would
hard
have
to
to be a team that really needed a shortstop to bail them out, in the short term, because I can't see a team giving him, he's 22 million a year, right? For the last 3 years, something like that. Last 4 years, I mean, I'm sorry. So that's a lot of coin for him. I don't know that unless
It'd have to be
he
a good year, no question.
shows his WBC form now, Oh, shoot.
Yeah,
I lose you.
it'd have to be an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
If it was, there would be interest, I think, because he has a track record, and all the big shortstop. I mean, the shortstop market is basically locked up for a while, right? I mean, we've seen,
Well, the Dodgers might need something later, right?
mean, yeah, and then
Gavin Lux is hurt.
so I mean, it would have to be a good year, but it's just I just find it going into this season. I just thought it was a weird dynamic because if you're a Tiger fan, do you hope he goes crazy and hits 350 and hits all these home runs, or do you? I mean, if he's bad, then you keep him, and he might be good when you're good again. I mean, it's just a weird dynamic to me. The opt outs are
Let me tell you something else about
strange.
Tony. Let me tell you something else about that. Him and Hinch have a good thing. Tigers made a lot of changes to this, to the clubhouse, to the way they do things, and a lot of it was based off of Javi's bitches. They've taken a lot of the things that Javi has said that he didn't like, and he wasn't the only one that didn't like it. He just had the clout to say something about it in terms of what was going on in the clubhouse as far as the out of date stuff in there. It was not a modernized clubhouse. A lot of those things have been taken into account and fixed and upgraded and renovated. And Hinch going to Puerto Rico this offseason, spending time with Javi, getting to know him. Hinch is a master at personality, getting along with people and understanding people. He's got a psych degree from Stanford. He understands the mind games, and he's won Javi over. And I think Javi likes the hitting coaches here too. I think he likes the structure. So there's a lot of things that Javi likes about this organization. So it's not a dead certainty that he would want to leave if he has a productive season, especially if the Tigers grow with him. If he hits and the Tigers grow with him, he could see it here, what he's looking for in terms of winning.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Interesting to see how it plays out, but I mean, bottom line is, like you said, he needs to be the guy in the middle of the order, with Green and Torkelson around him doing some damage, and maybe Meadows. I think I've liked a lot of Hill Meadows' swings early on this season. He obviously had the three hit game, but he also hit the ball hard in Houston a few times and wasn't rewarded. You definitely can see an approach there. There's potential in this lineup. The question, well, how much? I think there's potential in the lineup, but I don't know how much potential. I'll ask you this: how much potential is in this
Oof.
bullpen?
There's good, here's the thing.
There's
They
my
built this
answer.
bullpen to, I'll just say, right now they've inherited 15 runners and 9 have scored. I don't think that's a good number. I don't
No.
think that's sustainable.
No.
But they have good arms. And the way that AJ put this together, him and Chris Fetter, is they have guys that are built to be used a lot. And they've been used a lot, 27.2 innings already. And the starters have only gone 33 innings. So they're being used a lot. They have these guys, multiple inning guys. I don't think that's sustainable either. They have guys that are set up to get certain types of hitters out, with Chase and Shreve, the lefty with the splitter. Cisnero was supposed to come in and throw a high fastball past Duvall, and he put it in the middle,
Did not.
middle outside. And that's a good matchup, but it's not a good matchup when you don't execute the pitch. So they have those kinds of things that are dependent on guys being able to execute their pitches. The biggest surprise so far in the bullpen is Mason Englert. He's a Rule 5 kid who hasn't pitched much above high A ball, and he's shoved. He looks unaffected by the situation. He's got a good mix. He throws strikes. He's been a really pleasant surprise. Garrett Hill has had good moments and bad moments, often in the same outing. So there's a lot of things that have to kind of tighten up. They haven't had enough late inning games to even know how that's going to shake out. I mean, is Alex Lang going to be the ninth inning guy in a win? I don't. It's not guaranteed. It's
Right.
all going to be matchup based. And if Cisnero falters, that's a big hole. They're going to have to find some, because we don't know how sustainable Trey Wingenter is. His stuff looks great, but he can still spray it once in a while. He's coming back. He hasn't pitched since 2019 in the big leagues. So there's a lot of question marks there. And I think, I've said this before, but I think it's going to be a revolving door with like three or four spots in that bullpen, as the season progresses.
Right. Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, they lost a fair amount, obviously, from the bullpen from a year ago, whether free agency or trades. And it was a good bullpen a year ago, but more question marks this year. And the strain was always going to be put on them early in the season because you weren't going to go long with your starters early in the season because a lot of them, most of them, all of them didn't pitch much last year. So you're going to be careful. I mean, there's been some dud starts, but a lot of the starts have been pretty good, even though they haven't been long. So there was always going to be strain put on the bullpen. It's been exposed a little bit. There's been some decent moments. Like you mentioned, Hill came in for Rodriguez, I thought did a nice job early. So there's been some moments for sure, but that's definitely a big question mark. And that leads in, you talk about, those three or four spots. That leads in the next question. And one of my last questions is that Toledo, they opened their season last week or this week. Question I want to know from you is give me the first three guys who will be up from Toledo this season and how quickly?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. How do I know? And
Because
what I would have said,
you're an expert on the Tigers, Chris. And so
I don't follow
you're
the
going to put
Toledo
yourself
mudhens,
out there
man.
and you're going to
I
give an
don't
answer.
follow the Toledo mudhens,
But
okay?
you followed these guys at spring training. That's the point.
I
Who are
did.
the first guys up? That's what I want to know. For instance,
Akil Baddoo.
okay.
I don't know. I'll tell you who should be the first guy up but I don't know where you'd since they got Zach McKinstry. I don't know how Tyler Nevin gets back up here, but he's 11 for 18 in his rehab. They just optioned him to Toledo. His rehab's up. He's optioned back to Toledo. 11 for 18 with three doubles, a homer, and a triple. I mean, I think there might be a spot for him, but I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I don't want him to take Kreidler's spot necessarily because Kreidler plays up the middle and is as AJ said, an impact defender. Bo Brisky would have been in that conversation, but he's dealing with some arm issues that they still haven't really figured out what exactly he's dealing with. Akil Baddoo's down there. As far as the bullpen down there, I'm not sure who they're even using. Like, I think Miguel Diaz would be the first guy up, right-hander who's got a really good high fastball changeup combination. He should have made the team, in my opinion, but he didn't. I think he would be one of the first guys up as well. Ronnie Garcia is not in shape to pitch yet, so he's not an option. I'm just going off the top of my head who else is down there. But that then oh, there's Kervin Castro's a guy that was I thought looked really good in spring. He's got a wicked curveball. He could be like one of the first few guys up. But that's it. That's what we're looking at right down there with that. So I did answer your question, even though I complained about it. I feel like I need points for that. I got through it. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, I didn't hear the words Parker Meadows in that
No,
sentence.
he's not like he's not gonna be the first one up. No. He needs more at bats down there. And Lipschitz too. I think Lipschitz needs more at bats down there. And again, where's he gonna play?
Right.
How is Lipschitz gonna get up here unless somebody gets hurt or they pull the plug on Jonathan Scope, which I don't think they're gonna do. I don't think they're just gonna, you know, he's got time in the league. You can't just DFA him, you have to pay him. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if they're gonna eat that contract and just set him free. I don't think that's in the plans right now. So
I
there's a
think
lot of guys down there who
at
could
some
be.
point, I think at some point they will. I don't think in the first week of the season they will. I think that could happen.
I don't know what,
I
yeah,
think
but that, but
it could happen
that's,
at some
but
point.
the point is, where are those guys going to come up and play? Even Parker. Who do you want Parker to be in there for?
No, it's a fair question. No question. I asking the questions that the fans are asking, Chris. Fans want
Next time we do this, I'm having the Toledo roster at my fingertips so
There
I
you go.
can.
I just wanted to make you really uncomfortable by putting you on the
You
spot.
did.
Very good.
You
I'm
did. I wet
very happy
myself a
about
little bit
that.
on that one.
We got about 5 minutes left. You touched on the clubhouse renovations, which, by the way, were so quickly done. There was still the smell of fresh paint yesterday when we walked in there. So they clearly were rushing to do the clubhouse renovations, which, of course, is amenities, kitchen, weights, I assume, improved on that. They still have some work to do. The walls were I thought the walls looked pretty good, especially compared to what they looked like a week ago when I saw them, and they weren't even close to done. I think they look as seamless as possible.
The difference is it's bright. It was bright. It was lively. Like that was like walking into a tomb a lot of times last year.
The
Just
clubhouse,
the darkness of it, you know, it just wasn't like a vibrant kind of atmosphere in there. But it wasn't. It's not just. I mean, those guys all raved about the kitchen. I guess the kitchen is like palatial. Okay, but that's young guys who love to eat. So that's. But the more important changes are like. The lighting is it seems stupid, but it does make a difference. Riley Green talked about it. So you walk in with energy because it's so bright, it's you're alive, you're awake. But the more important thing is that there's a performance center, which I'm assuming they didn't show us any of this, of course, is where all the analytics stuff takes place, where guys can go look at video, guys can go, you know, there's probably big screens where they can look at stuff. That's an important because there was no place for that. There was no space for that. In the past, the weight room didn't get bigger, but they cleared out a lot of stuff that they weren't using. So there's a lot more room in there now. It's more functional. The weight room, the training room is a lot bigger and better, you know, because obviously it's so much better that Scooble and Mize can be here to carry on the rehab. They don't have to be in Florida. I think that's huge. It makes a big difference to Scooble. I promise you, he loves being here, loves being around the guys. It's a lonely place when you're down in Lakeland by yourself and your team is playing this season. So they're part of the team more now. So I think those are all positive changes and expensive changes. I mean, those cost a lot of money to do what they did, plus with the stadium renovations.
Yeah, no, that was, yeah, for sure. And yeah, when you walk in, I mean, I was a little taken aback when I walked into the little foyer before you get in the locker room and how bright it was. And yeah, it wakes you up for sure. They got some
It's
things to
my
do. Yeah, I heard Tariq Skubal was walking through the clubhouse yesterday and said, "Where are the clocks?" They forgot to put clocks on the walls because obviously, with first pitch and everything, they always have it broken down on boards. When you have to tr when your time to do BP is whatever. And someone said it was like a casino. They didn't want any clocks. They didn't want you leaving the clubhouse. They got some things to do, but looks good. They got it still is a work in progress, and the walls I think look good.
The downside for us is they got more places to hide.
Well,
They got more places to hide from us.
right, and yeah, Miguel was all too willing to note that Miguel's locker, always long, right at the entrance of the clubhouse, has now moved to the far end of the clubhouse.
Oh yeah.
He joked, half jokingly maybe, that he did it to get away from all of us. But
Oh, he's dead serious, man. I gotta see you guys 6 months. For 6 months? No way.
What I like about Miguel, he doesn't talk a whole lot during the season, but man, when he does, he's got such a good personality, and
He's amazing.
I hope that it shines, because fans, I don't think, get the true. I mean, they see him on the field, they see him acting like a big kid, but I hope that this year he kind of embraces what he's going through and lets that, lets his personality shine through a little bit more as he exits and talks a little bit more, because he really is just fun to talk to. So
Yeah, I don't think he's going to talk more necessarily, but he's soaking it up. Believe me, he's way more engaged in a lot of the stuff. He's always signed autographs. He's always been great with kids, but he's even seems like he goes out of his way now. Like you always see him on deck. He'll be messing around with some kid in the first row and playing, and he's wonderful, man. He's got a lot of traits that we're gonna miss, but he's had a great career. And people that just even yesterday there were people on Twitter saying, "Ah, let him go, pay him off, get him out of here. Why is he still
Well,
here? I don't care. Ah,
they would have
come
lost
on,
6-2
man, come
yesterday
on,
instead of
man."
6-3. So,
I don't know.
no, this is
You
the
can't please
perfect,
everybody all
this is
the
the
time.
perfect situation for Miguel to finish his season, right? The Tigers are not going to make the playoffs, so they can let him go out on his own. It's a perfect ending. They don't need that slot necessarily right this second, so it's fine. So, whatever.
I agree. I agree. He's not keeping anybody down.
No, that's it. Red Sox again, finish out the weekend Saturday, Sunday. Then the Tigers go to Toronto. Quick homestand. Jeez. Then the Tigers go to Toronto for three, and then back with three against San Francisco and three against the Cleveland Guardians. They're 2-5 on the season, 6-3 losers on opening day. A lot to like. Early signs, a lot to be worried about. But again, I don't think any of us were expecting the stars and the moon this year. You can check out all of the Tigers coverage from Chris, DetroitNews.com. You can also check out Wojo and Neo. They're chiming in as well. We'll have all that for you, and we'll keep the podcast going throughout the season, or as long as Chris can stand working with me. Chris, enjoy the rest of your off day.
See you, Tony. Take care.
See you, man.